Wow, so good to see all of you here. And also, of course, to see all who are on live stream and those who are tuning in, it's so good to see you as well. Yep, so I'll see you on Wednesday as well, 7:15. For those who are not already in prayer meeting, I do like to see you come along to pray, and then maybe I will be able to impart to you all that I have learned from operating Zoom. This morning, Pastor said about the four R's: resurrection, rapture, reunion, ready. And I thank God that I have got a sermon topic which has the fifth R, which is to reactivate the next action, to reactivate the next action. But before that, let's ask the Lord to bless His word and bless this time together. Father, we thank you so much that we are so in sync with unity, dear Lord, even with Pastor amongst ourselves, that Lord, we are saying the same thing and believing the same thing. It is so good to be on the same page with one another and also to be on the same page with you. Today we know you will command your blessing and your presence because there are more than two or three here today. So we give you thanks, dear Lord, in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. Amen. Well, I must say that WA has done very, very well. I think I'm echoing the voices of the politicians every time they come on screen. They will say, WA has done very well. Indeed, we have. I think WA has done very well. Our streets are a lot more crowded. If you do go to the city or to Northbridge or any of the other suburbs, I believe that our streets are a lot more crowded. Our supermarkets now are bustling. Huh? Now you've got to walk a little bit quicker and get your trolley a little bit faster because people are all coming to the supermarkets to get their food. It is great. It is wonderful to be able to see the bustling life all over again. In fact, the other day we were having dim sum and we had to queue 1 hour just to get to our table. People are all going out to eat. Don't all be in a hurry, okay? But it's so good to see WA returning to life again. Some of us will be in hibernation. Some of us may not be going to the office during this time. Some of you are going to office maybe on alternate days. And some of you have got changes in your work life. Whatever it is, I think right now we are invited to do public life again. We are invited by the government to come out again, to be reactivated, the fifth R. That's a good topic. The fifth R, reactivation. To be reactivated into life again. I was just having a conversation with my fellow psychologist, and she helped in a crisis line during this whole pandemic. And she says, you know, Kara, I just noticed something. Those people who call in, some of them, even before the lockdown, they were anxious, they were distressed. And then when they are in the lockdown, they are also anxious and distressed. And then when the lockdown is over, when they are asked to reactivate themselves, they are also anxious and distressed. What's happening to us? I hope that today the word will bring us into a new way of being reactivated. So I think it's also good to say that if you don't feel 100% eager to return to normal routine, it is also quite usual. But I hope you don't feel distressed all the time. You can feel some of the time if you're not so ready to go back to life all over again, not so ready to go to the supermarket with everybody there. It is okay, but you mustn't feel this all the time. And I also pray that today the word will help you be able to keep a calm and be able to know how to be reactivated, but in God's way. Are you prepared for that? And of course, we have got an example in the Old Testament where we can see how we can be reactivated again. And the example is the example of Elijah. Elijah went through the same cycle of transition and emotional turmoil. If you remember Elijah, he had a heyday. He had the brightest hour when he was at Mount Carmel, where he was able to challenge the prophets of Baal. He was able to call down the fire of God and consume the sacrifice. It was water soaked. He was having a great time. Some of us, before the COVID, we are having a great time. Maybe we're enjoying a promotion. Maybe we're enjoying a new job. Maybe we're enjoying life. And what happens to Elijah? The king and the queen, King Ahab and Queen Jezebel, wasn't really very happy with him because they were supporters of the prophets of Baal. And so when Elijah really slaughtered the prophets of Baal, Queen Jezebel said, look, I'm going to do something to you. I'm going to threaten your life so bad, the next day you'll be dead. So Elijah went from the point of ecstasy to the point of despondence, because now there is a life threat on his life, a death threat on his life. And this pandemic seemed to also bring us into that sort of a state, isn't it? Like, we were doing life okay, we were doing life normally, and then we are thrusted into an infected atmosphere of virus, of stress, and sometimes distress. But I've got good news on Sunday morning, that we can be reactivated into life again using God's principle. And the first principle is this: we need to take heart. To take heart, in the system, to be encouraged and be optimistic, because the brothers there and the sister there is making things happen. To take heart is to be encouraged and to be optimistic. It's not to lose heart. To take heart is to be encouraged and optimistic. But I don't want you to fake it till you make it. I don't want you to fake encouragement, fake that everything is all right, fake optimism. No, I don't want you to do that. When I was in uni, I was hanging around with people who are 21. And one day I was invited to a 21st birthday party. I was 38. I was just wondering whether I should be hanging around with the 21-year-old people or with the mother in the kitchen. I wasn't sure. I was very insecure at that time, many years ago. And so I kind of like told him, I'm not sure. He says, don't worry. You fake it till you make it. But today, I don't want you to fake it till you make it. Our point of reference is what the Lord says. What is the Lord saying? The Lord says to us, the Lord Jesus himself says to us, that he will be with us now and to the end of the world. So don't lose heart. The God that was with Elijah in his ups and his downs, in his highs and his lows, is with us. We can be lifted up even though things are looking down. So if you turn to 1 Kings chapter 19, turn to that place first. First Kings 19, if you go back and read the whole chapter, you will realize that in this chapter, Elijah was in the lowest of his lowest. He was so beaten down by the storms of life because he has weathered a lot of the storms. He was tired. His heart weighed like lead. I don't know about you, this 3 months, whatever we are doing for this last 3 months, it is tough. If you're not facing the situation, you see a lot of people facing the situation. If you're not seeing people in Perth facing the situation, you're seeing people in other countries facing the situation. It's tough. And sometimes our heart can weigh like lead. Worse still, in 1 Kings 19, we see that Elijah parted with his only company. He's got company. He's got a relationship there with a servant. He's got a servant. But at Beersheba, Elijah decided to let the servant go back, and he wanted to go into the wilderness on his own. Which brings me to the very first point. For reactivation into your new season, there is one fundamental thing that you need to keep, and that is relationships. Relationships. Relationships is fundamental in preventing stress from becoming distress. And that's why Eric Yuan, if I say Eric Yuan, you wouldn't know. I didn't know until I researched. If I say Zoom, you know, all right? Wednesday, 7:15, I see you on Zoom. If I say Zoom, you know. And this pandemic has made Eric Yuan a richer billionaire. He was already a billionaire. But this pandemic made him a richer one because everybody wants to connect. It is so natural for human beings to connect. We connect so that we can have good mental health. So relationship is really foundational, is really key in good mental health. So I don't know why Elijah at this point let go of his servant at Bathsheba. I don't know why. Sometimes certain journey needs to be taken yourself. Do you realize there are some moments where you got to do things yourself, you got to combat certain things yourself? Maybe this is a time where Elijah had to do his thing and he had to be able to survive on his own. And so he said goodbye to his servant and then he went into the wilderness. But when he was in the wilderness, the distress was so bad. You know, sometimes, you know, we come to a state where we are so tested, so tested that Elijah couldn't take that pressure anymore. And Elijah recorded, wow, this statement that is so real and so authentic. And I believe that many, many people out there during this time would say the same thing as well. Elijah says in 1 Kings 19, he says, Lord, I have had enough. And then he said, take my life, I am no better than my ancestors. Like, oh God, I just want to die, there's no point, oh God. That's how Elijah felt. But I want to tell you this, take heart, church. Take heart means to be encouraged, to be optimistic. Take heart, church, and take heart, my friends, wherever you are, be encouraged that even though Elijah was in that space, God never left him. God's relationship with him is steadfast and stable in the shakiest time. And in the darkest hour of Elijah's life in the wilderness, God was ever present with him. Maybe these are times where you feel alone or you feel powerless. Or sometimes you feel you've got the power on yourself. Like, wow, it's heavy, man. But you've got to do it yourself. But I want to assure you that you are not alone. Because when you really feel alone, that's when you are most aware that God is with you on this journey. And God is personal. In the case of Elijah, we see how God came to him and nudge him and touch him. God is aware of our suffering and God wants to attend to us. And if you read Hebrews 2:18, we were told that Jesus is the high priest. And Jesus empathizes with you. He understands and he empathizes with you in your weakness. And then in Revelation, we are told that Jesus sings over you. In that wilderness, God knew where Elijah was and God sent an angel to minister to him. So if you read 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 5 to 7, it says, all at once, an angel touched him. The angel of the Lord came back a second time. Wow, two visitations and touched him. Angels are spiritual beings with very high moral judgment and very high intelligence used by God to do work. In this case, we were told that the angel, a very good baker of bread, the angel, very good distiller of water, came to Elijah with bread and water, doing God's work, providing sustenance to Elijah. We are told in Psalms 91, yesterday we were at a meeting, And one of the members in the meeting, one of the brothers, read Psalm 91 again. It's so refreshing because I got the verse today. It says, He will give His angels charge over you to guard you in all your ways. This is something that is really interesting. On their hands, the hands of the angels, they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Wow. And Jesus said of the children, don't reject the children. Let the children come to me and don't bully the children. He says, in heaven, their angels, the children's angels, always behold the face of my Father who is in heaven, in Matthew 18:10. And then we are told in Revelation, or in Hebrews 12, that when we come into the presence of the Lord, like this morning, when we come into the presence of the Lord, we are in the company of a great throng of angels. Wow. The angel came to minister to Elijah. You see, life must go on. The curtains of life has not come down on us yet. Yes, we are waiting for the coming of the Lord. But right now, life must go on. The curtains of life has not come down yet. Tomorrow, still got to go to work. But God will send us natural relationships. Look to your husband or your wife next to you and say, thank you, you're God sent. Look to your children, huh? To your mommy, your daddy. Says, Mom, Dad, you are God sent. God sent you natural relationships, and God sent you supernatural relationship to reactivate us. See, the Mount Carmel experience, even though it was ecstatic and heavenly, is only one part of the journey. This COVID-19, even though it's gruesome and distressful, take heart. It is only one part of the journey. It is not the final destination. Elijah came to Horeb, where Mount Sinai was. And it was there that Moses got the Ten Commandments. And he thought that Mount Horeb was the final destination. That's the thing about us. Whenever we go through a very difficult time, we think, that's the end. That's the final destination. Nothing can happen after this that is even more dramatic. That's how our human mind thinks. So when Elijah came to Horeb, Mount Sinai, he thought, I'm going to meet God. This is the place where God met with Moses, and that's the end. You know what God said to him? The first thing God saw Elijah, God says, what are you doing here? You know why God says that? Because God has in mind for Elijah to go to Damascus to go and anoint Elisha and to anoint King Jehu. And God says, what are you doing here? Elijah thought this is the final destination. God says, hey, there is so much more. The God who is deep in you and high as the heavens know how much more He wants to give to you. We serve a God who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine according to the power that is at work within us in Ephesians 3:20. God can do so much more, and God wants to unleash new opportunities. I am not a digital person. I thought I'm done, you know. I'm not going to learn Zoom. I'm not going to learn. But now I'm teaching Zoom. I'm surprised at myself. It was all because I was talking with Pastor, and Pastor said, how about you sharing on Zoom? And I said, yes. God wants to unleash new opportunities, opportunities that you don't know even exist in you. God wants to unleash that, and you just have to learn to partner with God and equip and let God equip you for the next season. Mount Carmel may be pre-COVID, but Mount Carmel is not the final destination. God has many destinations for us, many dots for us to go on and on and on. After Mount Carmel was Mount Horeb. And God is so good, you know, even though Elijah was in the wrong place, God says, don't worry, I'm just going to show myself to you anyway. I'm going to solidify your confidence in me. I'm going to renew your zest for being a prophetic person. I'm just going to show you my face. And God encountered with Elijah in Mount Horeb, but then God says there's so much more. The curtains of life has not come down yet. We may be at this point and we say, oh Lord, looks like this is like the end of a lot of things. No, God is a God of immeasurably much more, because there was another place God wants him to go to, and that was in the desert of Damascus, where he prays for Elisha. And then he anoints the king over Israel. That's a big ceremony. That's a very grand ceremony for a prophet, because there's a lot of rituals there. But God wanted him to do that. Life is not over. We have so much more, and we need to be ready, Pastor said, to be ready to be reactivated. So the second point is to take action. How do we do it? We need to take action. Action. As I say, the angel came to Elijah, and the angel touched Elijah, and then he says, get up and eat. And then Elijah ate, drank, went back to sleep, and the angel came back again the next time, and he says, eat and drink, because you need to go on your way to Mount Horeb, and then later on to the desert of Damascus. Eat and drink, and you'll be strengthened. I want to say this to you. When you are dealing with emotions that are stressful and distressed, don't always think of how you want to feel good in all when you are feeling bad. I can say that again. Don't always think when you are feeling bad that you need to feel good so that you don't feel so bad. Sometimes you may need to take action, okay? Because if Elijah had just continued sleeping and sleeping and sleeping, and I tell you what, sometimes when the distress gets really bad, the body just shuts down, and so you just want to sleep and sleep and sleep. And I'm telling you, if you are sleeping and in that state of wanting to feel good, good, God, please make me feel good so that I can get up. God, let me feel good. Give me something. Let me have that feeling. You're going to take a long time. And then the more you feel that way, the more you sleep. And the more you sleep, the more inactive you are, and the more difficult it is to be reactivated. Tell you what, take action. Take action. Elijah was sleeping more than he should. But when the angel came and touched him, Elijah got up, and Bible tells us he ate and he drank. He ate and he drank. But I tell you, the angel must also be very good as a baker and a distiller. Why? Because Elijah got up the second time quite quickly to eat and to drink. But take action. When Elijah took action, energy began to come back to him. There are three fundamental areas we need to take care. Just now I told you relationship is fundamental. Three areas that you need to take care here, which Elijah showed us. One is to have enough sleep. You need to sleep enough. But if you're oversleeping, please put on the alarm clock. 7.5 hours, maximum 9 hours. Okay? But sleep is very important. Your healthy diet is very important. Bread and water for Elijah in the wilderness is really good. You know why? Because after he drank and ate, he walked for 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Horeb, which brings me to the third point. And don't do it this all at once. Don't do it in 40 days and 40 nights, because at the moment, I'm only in 2 miles. I'm now on a 2-mile app where I will walk at home for 2 miles. The third thing, fundamental in preventing stress to become distress, is to exercise. Very quiet. All right, exercise. But don't go all at once, yeah? Of course, Elijah did that because he's got time to catch. But I think for us, we need to progress. And right now, you know, I'm going 1 mile. I just finished my 1 mile. Now I'm going on 2 miles. And now every Tuesday, 8 o'clock, I Zoom gym with my friends in Singapore, you know? So we all kind of like do the same thing. It's really good. Tell you what, it's really good. It's preventing stress from becoming distressed. Please take action. The other thing you could increase your mental toughness is to have good thoughts. Good thoughts would also make you be able to prevent stress from becoming distressed. John Maxwell says, don't wait until you feel positive to move forward. Act your way into feeling good. I like you to be able to have the optimism in your will. Somebody says, you know, pessimism of the intellect, optimism of the will. I like you to have optimism of the will and not having pessimism of the intellect. If you look around, knowing that out there, how many people I did this? I wrote my notes here. Was it 8.7? 8.9 million people have been infected by the coronavirus, and I want to give you the right figures. 466,000 people are killed. These sort of statistics, when you read it, will make you feel pessimistic in your intellect, because all this knowledge makes you feel pessimistic. You need to boost your will. You need to renew your mind in the Lord by being able to look at things and see things that will boost your optimism. So optimism of the will. And one of the things we could do is truly the Word of God. You see, there are two parts of our brain. One is the thinking brain, one is the feeling brain. When you read news that are dismal, it's going to make your feeling brain feel really bad. And if you keep listening to your feeling brain, you will really be very afraid to go even out of your house. But you need to let the thinking brain be boosted by the Word of God. And so when Elijah saw God, what did Elijah say to God? God, you know, I tell you what, I tell you how I think, he told God. He says, God, I feel I'm the only one in this whole part of the world that is standing up for you. That's the feeling of Elijah. No wonder he's feeling down, because he felt really alone. And then God gave him his information. You know, sometimes when things become really distressful, don't look at our own information. Look at God's information. God told him, and this is what Pastor said to us on, I think, was it Wednesday prayer meeting? God says that I have 7,000 people who have not bowed their knees to Baal worshiping me. Wow, you're not alone. There are a lot of people who are with you, supporting you, Elijah. You need to just get up and get going. And look, Elijah says, but no, Lord, I'm the prophet, but you know, you didn't take care of me, you know, Lord. I have done this work. I have gone to Mount Carmel, as you say, and I've been obedient. But, you know, I am still not able to do a lot. And God says, nah, nah, nah. I'm going to send you over to the desert of Damascus, and I want you to go and anoint King Jehu so that he will be the king of Israel. Wow, take care of your thoughts. Because your thought is foundational to preventing stress to become distressed. So there are five things you need to take care of. Your relationship. Listen to God. God will send you a lot of help, naturally and also supernaturally. And He Himself, His relationship with you, will keep you afloat during this time. And then, sleep well. Don't oversleep. If you oversleep, as I say, for an alarm clock, get somebody to wake you up. Angel might not be sent for that purpose, but get somebody to wake you up. Have your healthy diet. Okay, we are very privileged in WA. We have more than bread and water, so get some healthy food going. All right, exercise, because that's going to make you take action. Don't feel your way, because you know when you feel your way into a crisis, it can make you feel really bad. Take action, and you will make you feel better. And last of all, you need to take care of your thoughts. Take care of your thoughts. We're not alone. God has not finished with us yet. The curtains of life has not come down yet. When the curtains of life finally come down and the trumpet sound, that's where we're going to go and be with the Lord. But don't listen to all the predictions. Jesus says, I don't even know. But like what Pastor says, the fourth R, be ready. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. I forgot one very important point in this message. And that is, when Elijah was at Mount Horeb, Elijah went through the earthquake, Elijah went through the raging wind and the raging storm, Elijah went through all the loud sounds, but finally Elijah took action when he sensed the presence of God. You know what was the thing that God showed him? He sensed in the whisper of God that God was going to speak to him. Hallelujah. Lord, we welcome your whisper this morning. You know, sometimes we have got so much noise around us, so many statistics, so many fake news also, so many stormy stuff around us happening that are really drowning our system, our brain, so that our feeling brain becomes so overactivated with bad news that our thinking brain is not able to be reactivated. Lord, I pray, dear Lord, this morning, just let the sound of all these distress be silenced. Lord, we thank you for the song that was sung just now. It says, even the winds and the waves know his name. That's right, dear Lord. At the sound of the name of Jesus, we can silence all those voices that want to make us terrified or scared or anxious or stressed or distressed. We silence it. We silence it. And we allow the whisper of the Lord Jesus Christ to be so loud, so loud. And what did God say to Elijah? God says, Elijah, you're not alone. I have 7,000 believers, hot in their love for me, still existing on the earth. I want you to hear this. God is saying to you, you are not alone. Let the whisper of the Lord Jesus Christ at this time be so loud in your soul, booming. A message that says, you are not alone. I will give you help. I will send you people. And then God told Elijah, Elijah, your job's not finished. This whole pandemic, this whole crisis is not going to drown everything, all the dreams I'm telling you about. Is going to be the beginning. I want you to go to Damascus to do a very important ceremony. God has work for us to do, and God is the God of how much more? And God is going to bring us to the next dot of life, the next part of our journey. And you're going to cling on to God and say, oh God, I'm going to partner with you. Please equip me. Please get me ready. Please reactivate me so that, Lord, we can be in this adventure together. Father, I just pray. I speak, oh Lord. I speak a stirring in our spirit. I speak a stirring in the heart of the church. That God, there is so much more. And I pray that, Lord, we will take stock during this time. And we'll believe you for more that's going to happen to us personally. And more of you in the church life. So that, Lord, together we will be a church that will be able to influence Perth. And beyond. Lord, we give you thanks because we believe all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. And have a very good week. And see you the next time. And those who are on live stream, goodbye and see you in church. Bye-bye.